Laws for Family Life, Part 2, is the title of our exhortation, taken from Deuteronomy chapter 22 and verses 18 to 19. In verse 8, we, in this continuing matter of family laws, look at the safety of a new home, as is regulated by the laws of God. We see that the Lord seeks to help preserve charity and good neighborship, as Matthew Henry puts it. And so if we would understand the ways of God, then you would see that in the society, in the world that we live in, even amongst family members, there will be a difference, because there will be the grace of God that help us to live amicably and live in peace according to God's way by which He instructs us. And so verse 8 speaks of the safety of a new house. When thou buildest a house, then thou shalt make a battlement for thy roof, that thou bring not blood upon thy house, if any man fall from thence. The battlement is a railing or a restraint that must be built around the roof of a new house for the safety of those who might be present, that their life may be saved from falling to death. I remember when it was before moving into our house, when it was still under construction, I had the opportunity to view it. So walking up the flight of stairs all the way up, then reaching the balcony. At that time, the balcony has no wall yet. The wall has not been constructed. And so, you know, you could see very far. You could see the raw house as it is in construction. Well, you get a good view, but you see that, wow, it's actually quite dangerous. You can fall headlong if you move too close to the edge of the house. Here is given the instruction, so that the house may be properly fortified. And the point here is that this battlement would be a safety gadget, so that there would be safety for anybody falling and injuring. And how crucial it is that we would take necessary steps to think how the house can be properly fortified, or where railings is needed, there is railings. Where support is needed, there is support, so that it will be a place of safety for those who are visiting, those who are staying there. And so it gives to us here the responsibility of looking at our house and ensuring that it is a safe place to live in. Of course, says O.T. Spence, the roof of a home was in reality the porch of the house, not only for the convenience of privacy, but also because of the comfort of the cooling evenings for sleep and hospitality. The roof was a better choice. Joshua 2 verse 6, the two spies who went into Jericho, they were brought up to the roof of the house, and they were hid there with the stalks of flax. Remember, Rahab the harlot kept them there at the roof. It was also at the rooftop that David walked on the roof and saw something that he shouldn't see. A woman washing herself, and the woman was very beautiful to look upon. That's where he fell. Acts 10 verse 9, on the morrow, as they went on their journey and drew nigh unto the city, Peter went up upon the housetop to pray about the 6th hour. So it was also a place where you can have a time where of quiet before the Lord. And so the house is a good place, home, a place where you can find the needful rest, solitude, and peace from distractions. And so here is given to us this thought to ensure the safety of a new house. And from 9 to 11 is given to us the what is called the mixture of things. There are certain things that should not be mixed together. Verse 9 to 11 gives us some clue. It says, "Thou shalt not sow thy vineyard with diverse seeds, lest the fruit of thy house which thou hast sown and the fruit of thy vineyard be defiled. Thou shalt not plow with an ox and an ass together. Thou shalt not wear a garment of diverse sorts, such as wool and linen together." There is a very consistent truth in the scripture. Man was not to mix. Creation came about, say O.T. Spence, because of God's ability to create and separate things. Separation is a great and old truth of the Bible. The Israelite was not to mix different things, different kinds of seeds together and sow them in the same field. They were not to mix different kinds of animals together in labor, in plowing, in hauling, and they were not to mix two different kinds of cloths together in the making and wearing of their garments. In a spiritual sense, as we think about what is being said here, well, we can apply this to physical necessities. We should see the principle here, not to mix the seed of the vegetable kingdom. A beautiful illustration Spence gives was that of a new birth. There is only one seed, the Word of God, that can be for our life. And we cannot serve God and mammon, Christ and Satan. And so it's given to us here that there is a separation. The church is called the church because the members of the church have been called out from the world. And that's the literal meaning of the word church. Right? The called out ones. The ones who have been called out of the world. So there is a separation that the Lord deems fit for His people. And so here is given to us to understand there are certain things that we should not mix together. Okay? There are certain things that you should not mix together. So the ox and the ass, well, they are animals of a different nature. Right? The ox is for plowing. The horse is for riding. And so if you use the horse for the plowing together with the ox, there will be chaos. Right? They move in different steps and they are of different temperament. And so they could not work together. So here is given to us an observation. We must not mix two different kinds of dispositions, spirits, and alliances in our labor for the Lord. An ox and an ass will not work together in the spirit of cooperation and harmony. Can two walk together except they be agreed? Of course, the answer is no, isn't it? If there are differences of understanding, then you find that it does not move, isn't it? you have one saying like that, and another says like that, and which way to go? So, wherever there is this situation, you find that two cannot walk together. The garment is often a type of man's habits and manner of life. So he's illustrating here. We cannot afford to mix the cloths of our garments of character and practice. We cannot manifest the garments of animal and or which is the wool and the linen, which is from the vegetable or from the plant. The first irritates and the second smooths and cool. A different texture. Right? And it's different nature. When you wear it, it gives you a different for different purposes. Right? For different purposes. And so in these three examples, we give birth to a thing. The work of a thing or the character of a thing spans well explains, we must be born from above without the mixture of the world. We must work and labor in the unity of purpose without the pulling against of another energy. And we must maintain consistency of our character and practice. The birth, the walk, and the life combined sets forth the godliness of the individual believer. So it's given to us here. Paul writes and tells us, be ye not unequally yoked. Be not unequally yoked with unbelievers. Why does Paul give this admonition? He said, what has light to do with darkness? What has idols to do with the people of God? They are different. And so here is taught to us that certain things should not be mixed together. When you have a mixture of it, you find that it affects each other. We are at eighth thought, slander of a wife, verse 13 to 18. And here it said, the slander against a wife by a husband was protected by her purity. This is an instance when the husband feels he has a cause of slander, of slandering his wife because he suspects impurity of her at the time of their marriage. In those days, we can readily see the importance of the matter of the purity of the wife as a virgin. In our time, there are many such passages in the Bible that some might think corrupt the reader's imaginations as he reads it, but God, with purpose and wisdom, has left these passages quite appropriately, but we do not always understand His purpose. Just because the abundant light of the sun might burn us at times, and the lack of light in the moon might cause us to stumble at night, does not mean that we do not need the sun and the moon. It is how we handle such information and light and other things that determines the good it will do for us, and why God would give it to us that matters so much to us. So here is given to us the need, our need of recognizing the purity of marriage. Needed in those early years. And the respect that is maintained whenever we remain pure to the fidelity of that marriage. It is never cheap to sin, O.T. Spence rightly points out. It will always cost a lot. A marriage cannot continue without respect, and it should never start without it. However, we certainly know that no matter what sin might do to us, God can save by His grace, and we can be forgiven of any and all sins. That does not mean, however, that we will never have a problem after being saved by grace from sins that we commit in our youth. So, sins that has been committed before, it does not mean that it is erased. Right? There are certain things that we do that cannot be quickly or easily the consequences of it. We are talking about the consequences of it. So here, there is a custom that is presented here that indicates in the beginning of a marriage or marriage life, proof was to be taken between the wife and her parents of the evidence of her virginity, that she has not have any relationship with other men. It seems clear that this was done with propriety without the husband ever knowing about the actual token. At least if he knew, why would he later on doubt it? It is understood by some scholars that a bedsheet kept with evident proof by blood of the virginity of the wife, for if there had been prior intercourse, prior relationship with other men, there would be no blood by evidence which comes from the initial act of this union in the flesh. Of course, and again, if the wife was dishonest, no doubt she can fabricate a lie, a false evidence, and there was a need of the parents being honorable in their knowledge of the past of their daughter, when in all probability, godly parents would be able to suspect the loss of virginity by many other observations. However, the parents would not be knowledgeable in all instances if they and the daughter were honest. The actual method employed here might not be conclusive proof today. An active woman could lose this evidence through some athletic or other strenuous activity. With this very possibility of dishonesty, the husband had recourse in making his accusation against her. Here again, the elders of the city to which the couple belonged were to hold investigative counsel and decide the truth of the matter from the facts. If the accusation of the husband was untrue, he was to be chastised, and the elders would amerce, in other words, fine him in the amount of 100 shekels of silver to the father of the wife. This modest amount was not to repair what could not be repaired, but it was to give evidence of the triumph of truth and fidelity in the family in Israel. So you see how God's law teaches us and guides us so that we may know what is the appropriate approach towards life, the laws of God instructing us, showing us the way by which we ought to live. And so we thank God that the Lord teaches us and shows us, and you realize that when we come to know the Lord, that's where there is a lot of catching up to do. Catching up. So we are reading through the Bible in 1 year because there are many of God's teachings, God's laws, which we may have missed out, or we may not have properly learned if we have not been taking time to dwell on God's word, to think and ponder. So today we taught about four things that the Lord wants us to learn, and you would see that there would be many lessons that the Lord would want us to learn in our spiritual journey for our equipping, so that we can be good stewards of the Lord, for the Lord. And therefore, it takes time. It takes time, isn't it? It takes time, and we need to be patient. We need to take time to think about this ourselves. Each time we go through here today, four laws. But if you think of it, if you want to consider and understand the implications and the practice, and you find that, wow, it is something that takes time to learn and internalize, and then to practice. So you see that how far behind we are. We have not been taking time to study the Word of God, isn't it? And so we thank God that God has helped us, you know, to at least make a start, right, as a group of God's people, that we try to read. So I pray that the Lord would to help us to read. And now we are at the book of Deuteronomy. There is a 2 weeks, or 2 weeks gap there. So we will be doing Joshua this week. Next week we will be doing Joshua, followed by Deuteronomy. So if you can, if you have not been able to catch up, do take the time to catch up. There are those who have been able to read consistently. They are already ahead. Quite a number are already in the Judges, reading the book of Judges. So we pray that the Lord would help us, strengthen us, and grant us His grace to persevere in the consistent reading and study of His Word. So it's a habit that we build up. And the Lord wants us to build up this kind of a spiritual habit, spiritual good habits, to so that we would be able, in times where we can, God gives us rest and peace, to prepare ourselves for any eventuality that He would put us in, that we would be prepared for life. So may the Lord strengthen us, may the Lord help us, for His own namesake. Amen.